I'm speaking today with Steve Brown, who is running for Railroad Commissioner in Texas on the Democratic ticket. Steve, first question I'd like to ask, why are you running for this office?
Well, this office, Charles, is one of the offices that is very important for the state and traditionally has been an important office for the state. But we don't usually get the same type of attention to this office that's needed and deserved. As you know, the oil and gas industry is our lifeblood economically in the state of Texas. And so the agency that is required to then regulate it should also be as important to protect the citizens of Texas, to protect the environment, and to keep the economic activity growing and help to create some jobs in the state. So this is a very important office, and it's something that I take very seriously, and I want to make sure that it functions as properly as possible moving forward.
Now, what kind of background do you have in energy, oil and gas? What kind of background do you have in that?
Yeah. My background is actually with public administration and public policy and in advocacy. And so, we're taking a slightly different angle in our approach to this candidacy in such a way that, we're not trying to pitch me as an industry insider, because I'm not that. And that's not who I think the agency needs at this time. The agency itself has three commissioners, and the other two profess to be insiders. It can be debatable, but so we have that already. What we don't have is someone who is listening to the public, who is striking a balance between public interest and public safety with industry interest and things of that nature, and to make sure that there is a win-win situation, win-win scenario, and how we continue to facilitate energy growth while at the same time protecting landowners out in the community, protecting people whose water is catching on fire. All these things that we hear about in the news that right now isn't given the same type of attention within the commission as it deserves.
Well, sort of generally speaking, what do you see as your top priorities for this office?
First off is making sure that the agency functions properly, right? And that means that making sure that the agency has adequate funding to be able to do its job. What we've seen in the last 5 to 6 years is such a surge in oil and gas production in this state. But there was no corresponding, enhancements for the agency to be able to hire new field inspectors and keep them. Right, so it's not just hiring new people, but it's also training them so that they have the type of development and to do their job properly, the right way. So making sure the agency has the resources that it needs to do its job, first and foremost. Beyond that, wanting to make sure that we're doing what we can to increase access to the industry, open up the doors to the industry. I want to see more workforce training in the community. I'd love to be able to see, this is drilling, and the folks who work in the field, this is one of the few opportunities where someone with a high school diploma can live a middle-class lifestyle and have a middle-class income. And so, there's huge opportunities to connect the type of workforce development and training necessary to be able to get people qualified to work out, whether it's in the Eagle Ford, Shell, or Barnett, or the Permian Basin, wherever it may be, but to make sure that we have an adequate workforce and supply workforce to give a lot of youth the opportunity to go out there and do some good things and earn a living, a livable wage. So there's those things. Of course, this is with the environment. I obviously want to make sure that we are stewards of the environment and making sure that there is a voice of the folks who care about that on the commission as well. And so, there are a number of things that need to be done. What we do know what will happen is during the course of the term of this new commissioner, there will be some type of, you know, sunset activity. And I assume, because they've tried twice, I do feel confident that the next time around, I think 4 years, there will be some statutory action on the direction of the agency moving forward, which should include changing the name, perhaps one that the low-hanging fruit, you would think, in doing this. But statutorily, okay, we're talking about the policy changes to the agency to make it more functional. So with regards to what that looks like, how we can build an agency that is more responsive to the public needs and wants, at the same time start to weed out the bad actors in the system, the ones who are cutting corners to make an easy profit and endangering those around them. Because I assume that the folks who are doing it the right way don't want those folks in the industry either. And so, you know, identifying the bad actors, actually enforcing the regulatory rules that we have on the books and have the means to do that, and then making sure that the funding then supports that new activity within the agency is what we see. Now, to go back to the industry insider and the qualifications, you know, my background is public policy. My background is with the appropriations process, the Senate finance process. And so I do think that I provide a value add that is truly needed, particularly over the next 6 years, and how we begin to revision and then reshape this agency strategically.
Okay. I mean, you know, one of the things that are fueling Texas's energy boom mm-hmm. these days, I mean, there's the shale, and there's frack, and there's natural gas, mm-hmm. and with all that, a lot of this is driven by fracking. Mm-hmm. Which is controversial in some circles. I mean, there's a lot of concerns about environmental effects, and, you know, we don't really know necessarily what effect it's going to have long term, mm-hmm. plus concerns about contaminating groundwater. Mm-hmm. What's your view of fracking, and, you know, is the agency, the Railroad Commission, mm-hmm. Doing an adequate job to meet the needs of industry and Texas economy, but also protect, you know, the environment and the water?
No, I do think it's one-sided at this point. Undoubtedly, it's one-sided. That's not to say that I will go in and say we have to outlaw fracking. You know, I do believe that the process itself, the procedure itself, I would love to see how we identify the things that go wrong with fracking, and not turn a deaf ear to those things. I think what you see now is if something happens, say there's a concern that, you know, gas is getting into the water supply, for instance, there is too quick of a tendency to just say, oh, that's just faux science. It's nothing to it. You know, you guys, you tree huggers have it all wrong. You know, keep just mind your business. The behavior that I get out of the commission. I think that what we instead should do is that when those situations occur, where there is some credible evidence that something may not be working properly, and to first look at to make sure that the company, the driller, whoever is responsible with the permit, is doing things according to the regulations that exist on the books. And if there is some fault, and if first if there's some fault, then definitely we need to enforce that, right? I mean, you know, if it's something on the books already, where we see the fault is identifiable, we need to be able to enforce it. If there's a situation where there's some fault, but there's the rules are a little bit ambiguous in how you deal with that, then let's tighten up the rules, right? So, you know, clearly there are with most things some unintended consequences that that need to be looked at, identified, researched, and taken seriously. Now, you know, I say all that, and I noticed that one of the commissioners is hosting a town hall meeting on the 2nd to look at the earthquakes that are happening around the Barnett Shell area, which is good. You know, I think it's I think that's what should have been happening for the last 3 to 4 years. I mean, you know, folks have been complaining about the frequency of these things for some time now. And so I am encouraged that, you know, one of the commissioners is taking it seriously and having some type of a town hall meeting. We'll see what comes out of that. But I think more of that needs to happen. I think more of that needs to be done. You know, I do believe, again, in terms of being a public advocate on the commission, I do believe that there needs to be a place where the community, whether it's that, whether it's, you know, what we do with the water and how we store it, or if we recycle it, right? I think there needs to be someone on the commissioners, who has a sense of feeling responsive to the public, similar to the way that there is existing in the status quo a sense of being responsive to business, right? And that doesn't always mean that those things are contradictory, right? That doesn't always mean those things are conflict. But what it does mean is that we elevate the level of degree to which we explore some of the problems facing Texans in general, Texas landowners, what have you, and making sure that we do what we can to, again, root out the bad apples. So if what's on the books is clearly indicative that something was done in contrary to what's already written in the rules, then let's enforce that, and let's be effective in enforcing it. And if by enforcing it we're not rooting out the bad behavior, then let's increase the enforcement, right? But at the same time, if the rules are written ambiguous, we need somebody on that commissioner's court to say, look, we need to tighten up in these areas. It's clear that this isn't something that there's no sense of clarity for businesses on how they are to do their business. And so, you know, what can we do as commissioners to make sure that those rules are clear?
Okay. One of the, I guess, unintended effects of the oil and gas boom in Texas has been in some of the counties, especially in the Valley of South Texas, some of these lightly populated counties where the roads have been getting torn up by all the big rigs driving through them. I mean, we hear now about some roads that are being converted into gravel because it was going to cost too much to pay, you know, to fix them. You know, obviously, the funding aspect of that is obviously legislative in nature. Mm-hmm. But do you see anything that the Railroad Commission can do to help with this?
Yeah, and again, you know, it goes back to the importance of the agency. The one of your very first questions today, and that, you know, this is one of the few agencies that touch a lot of different things, right? And so, you know, we talked about water, and clearly there is a water issue. I think, you know, the vote last November on the referendum clearly indicates that we all, as a public, as citizens, we believe that there is an issue with water. It's time to get serious about how we deal with that. We talked about workforce. Right, and workforce training, and then you take another step and you look at the schools and what's in the curriculum in schools are to prepare students to not only work in the field, but also as engineers, whether it's, you know, petrochemical, mechanical, what have you, right? So we touch that too in a degree, right? Indirectly, but it's there. Roads as well is a big part of this. And so, you know, you take someone who has, you know, about a decade of legislative experience, who has relationships in the legislature, obviously, and knows how the process works, who can lend as a resource to legislators and help them to see a bigger picture than what they may assume exists. And so I don't know to what extent, in the infinite wisdom of our House and Senate, that they put that into the equation, the impact of the trucks and how we tear up the roads in and around these drilling areas. But, you know, as a public advocate, again, you need someone on the commission who is going to go to the Capitol and, you know, live in the Capitol during session and make sure that these guys are aware of some of these other issues and problems. And that as they are looking at solutions, those solutions do include some of the unintended consequences that are related to this. Now, the good news is that, you know, because this is the lifeblood of the economy. It's also the lifeblood of the budget, too, right? So, you know, there is some leverage to be able to say, you know, look, you know, because of this boom in oil and gas economics, you know, we have a surplus, you know, so why not use that money to direct it to support what's happening? And I think that, you know, making sure that we have paved roads is a manner of supporting business, right? And so just as I would like to support other people with different interests coming before the commission, I think this is a way that you can support business by saying making sure that these guys have the appropriate funding for transportation to get to and from. And let's look at different ways that we can perhaps limit the amount of trucks on the road as well.
Okay. You alluded to this in one of your earlier answers, but you know, the Railroad Commission is obviously the name of the commission is an anachronism. It hasn't had anything to do with railroads in many years. It is an energy-related commission. There have been a number of attempts to try and rename it. They've all failed so far. What name do you think the commission should be?
Oh, I'm open. I mean, it should have energy in it somewhere. You know, it should be clear that this is some type of an energy regulatory body, right? So, you know, I'm open to suggestions. I'm not, you know, tied down. But, you know, what I do know is that it should not be the Rail Commission. You know, TxDOT has oversight over rail. So I think it's misleading and inappropriate to continue the use of that name.
Okay. Railroad commissioners, as you know, that serve six-year terms. There's three commissioners, and they serve staggered terms. Right. So every 2 years, there's a commissioner who's up. It is often the case, the commission is often seen as a jumping point to other state offices. I mean, Barry Smitherman is running for attorney general. Elizabeth Ames before him ran for state senate. So, and Carol Keaton, Van Rylander, later Strayhorn, ran for comptroller from there. Some people think that there should be a resign to run provision on railroad commissioners because, again, you know, six-year terms, you're guaranteed to have one free shot at a state office in there during your term.
Yep.
Do you think that the railroad commissioners should be required to resign from their office if they want to run for another office?
I think that transparency is going to be important, I think, in terms of the public's ability to trust that the decisions that the person who has been elected to do their job is actually doing that job. I think there's ways of tackling transparency. I would love to look at ways put in place a moratorium on when you can receive campaign contributions and donations. I like to look at how often and frequently they report their campaign contributions, because, you know, the underlying problem are what you're trying to root out when you do the resign to run deal is making sure that a guy or a woman who is serving on the commission, clearly with no intent on staying on the commission, in fact, actively campaigning, isn't still receiving checks from oil and gas lobby, right? And their PACs and such. And so, because it gives them a significant advantage, right? You have a statewide platform, you can receive donations continually throughout your campaign for another office. And so I do think there should be some limitations even more devious and sinister, I think, is you know, receiving donations from organizations who have business pending before the commission, and knowing and making sure the public knows whether or not that you are not accepting donations from anybody who has pending business before the commission. I think that is a much more pressing ethical issue and challenge for the commission. I think also with regards to establishing some type of moratorium on when they can raise money for their office that they have now. But, you know, what you're trying to get at is how do you, you know, keep someone who is running, clearly running something else, but still receiving money as a commissioner, and then using that leverage. And so I think there's ways to get to that.
Okay. As it happens, on the Republican side, Several people who are running for the nomination for the same spot on the commission that you're running for have been touting their credentials opposing abortion. For the record,
yes.
Does the Railroad Commission have anything to do with abortion?
No, it does not.
Just check.
Yeah.
I know you guys get into some interesting areas.
Yep.
I didn't think that was one of them.
Yeah, and not just abortion. I mean, you know, any hot topic these days on that other side, they're bringing it out in the interviews and the speeches that they're delivering. And in fact, you know, much to my amazement, you know, I've become fodder for some of the candidates on the other side. They are convinced that Al Gore sent me to Texas to run for the Railroad Commission, and you know, Al Gore, the environmentalist, is going to have this guy Steve Brown, who used to work for him, to shut down, you know, oil and gas industry in the state of Texas, which is ludicrous. First, I didn't work for Al Gore. I worked in the Clinton White House, but somehow working in the Clinton White House and working for Al Gore became the same thing. But you know, the conspiracies that the other side is putting out already framing me. I guess they didn't realize I have a primary opponent that I have to deal with first. But framing me in the public sense that, you know, we have to make sure these Al Gore, Obama liberals don't, you know, try to wipe out the commission. It's kind of, you know, true to form in what we've come to expect from the other side. Not so much a discussion and dialogue on how to make improvements to the agency as much as it is scare tactics and you know, the fear mongering on the other side. Now, you know, as a result of that, we'll see what happens. We'll see who comes out of that, their primary process, and we'll see how they match up against who comes out of our primary process. I'm hopeful that's me.
Okay. Railroad Commission, down ballot race, generally, you know, candidates don't raise a whole lot of money,
right.
Don't do a whole lot of, aren't able to do the same kind of outreach as, say, a gubernatorial candidate.
Right.
You know, you're more dependent on the top of the ticket,
mm-hmm,
than some other candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what are, you know, and this is something I'm asking pretty much everyone I'm talking to, what are you doing, what are you doing and what will you be doing to help Wendy Davis get elected governor?
Well, you know, I think that me running helps the ticket as a whole. With Wendy and Leticia and all the other folks on the ticket, I think that together we make for a very comprehensive you know, kind of a view of the state of Texas. We look like the state of Texas, and I think that we all add distinct value to the ticket. So, you know, obviously being on the ticket and trying to win this seat, and you know, this isn't a, you know, pay your filing fee and see what happens. This is, you know, I really do want to be the Railroad Commissioner for the state of Texas, and I do want to win in November, right? So, you know, me having an active campaign throughout the state as much as we can reach throughout the state, undoubtedly has a positive impact on what's happening above me. But you know, this is about Steve Brown wanting to win this seat and doing my part to turn Texas blue through winning the seat. And I do believe it's achievable. I know that there are a lot of skeptics out there who don't think we really have a chance. And I just don't believe it. I just cannot believe it. I wouldn't be running if I didn't believe it. I think for one, the party has done a phenomenal job in reorganizing itself and growing. You know, something we didn't have years ago. Obviously, Battleground Texas presence in the state is a huge benefit to us all as well. But you know, I don't believe we've lost because our ideas are wrong. I don't believe we've lost because we're on the wrong side of history, right? In terms of different policy discussions, I think we lost because we're not on the field, right? I'm an athlete. I grew up playing sports and played sports in college, and I know what it means to not play, right? To not have a full team dressed and ready to go in a basketball or football game, for instance. Any missing position on the court, on the field, completely debilitates our ability to win as a team. And so what I like to represent is I know what position I play, right? And I want to make sure that when this is all done, I come out as a as an All-State caliber player.
Okay. And as you've noted, you do have a primary opponent in this race. So when people go to vote in March, why should they vote you, Steve Brown, to be the Democratic nominee for Railroad Commissioner and not your primary opponent?
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot, it goes back to a lot of what we've said before with regards to the re-envisioning the role of commissioners, making commissioners play a more active role publicly, more public role, and using tools, skill sets, and experiences legislatively to make sure that we have a functioning agency. And look, I don't know much about my opponent. I am sure he has all, you know, good intentions. But you know, we're looking ahead. I mean, we're looking at the future and beyond for not only this position but as a party. And I think that, you know, I know what I can bring to the table as being a former county chairman and working in Austin and having that type of background and working campaigns, you know, like Ron Kirk's campaign when he was in the primary in 2002, that my opponent does not have. And so, you know, look, I'm ready to go. I'm a team player. I am convinced that we have a message that will sell not only to the mainstream party activists and supporters, but also to Middle Texas, right? You know, the folks who are impacted by the industry and sometimes in ways that can be easily solved to the extent that we stop protecting the bad actors in the system, right? And so those folks want a voice on the commission as well, and they may have never voted Democratic in their entire lives, but, you know, I do believe that I can go to them, appeal to them, and let them know that that they will, you know, walk away with the opportunity to reach out to me as a commissioner and make it such that, you know, I can take their fight to the to our meetings and to my colleagues and making sure that, you know, we elevate the significance of the concerns and the grievances that we hear resonating out in the public. I don't know if that's my opponent's skill set or not, but I'm convinced that I can do that better. I'm convinced that, you know, given the opportunity, I will excel and achieve in a way that, you know, that we can really revolutionize how we look at the commission moving forward.
All right. Steve Brown, thank you very much for talking.
Thank you.